purpose of Christmas. But the truth is, there are a lot of people in our world who really don't know what the real purpose of Christmas is all about. And so it is our job to help them understand what Christmas is all about. What is, if you boil everything down and take away all the other trappings, what is the purpose of Christmas? The purpose of Christmas is to celebrate. To celebrate Jesus. To celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration. And you know, we celebrate in so many different ways, and people in other countries celebrate in ways that are very odd or foreign to us. They are not better. They are not worse. They are different. People in other countries worship differently. They celebrate differently. It's not better or worse. It's just different. And that's something that God has really been instilling in me this last year with my trip to Africa and other events, that believers around the world do a lot of things that we don't do. And it's not better or worse. It's just different. And God is a wonderful God, and He gives us all different ways to worship Him and to celebrate Him. And that's really, you know, whether we are speaking in life in general, or as how we live and work or spend our free time, and how we worship as believers in Jesus Christ, we all do things differently. And when it comes to celebrating Christmas, we all celebrate differently, don't we? We have traditions, but they're celebration traditions. I celebrate some things in my family differently than you do, and you celebrate some things differently than the person sitting next to you, perhaps. One of the celebrations that we do every year in my home is on Christmas morning, I always make eggs Benedict. That's something my dad started. I don't know why he started it, but he did, and it caught on, and I happen to like eggs Benedict. So every year at Christmas, on Christmas morning, we make eggs Benedict. Some of you celebrate by opening all your gifts on Christmas. Some of you celebrate by opening just one gift on Christmas Eve. Some of you make your family wait until Christmas morning. Whatever it is, we all celebrate differently, but we celebrate. And that's really what Christmas is all about, is celebration. If you look at the Christmas story, that is what the shepherds did that very first Christmas morning. They celebrated. Read it along with me if you would. It's not on the screen, but just hear the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. After seeing him, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary was treasuring all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. I want you to notice in this time-tested, this great old passage of Scripture about the birth of Jesus Christ, I want you to notice first that the angels celebrated. How did they celebrate? The angels proclaimed good news of great joy. That's a celebration. And it will be for all people. No matter who you are, this celebration is for you. And that sounds like a celebration to me. And then if you read on in the story, the shepherds come and they see for themselves. And what do? They celebrate. The Bible tells us that they glorified and praised God. That sounds like a celebration to me, glorifying and praising God. But many times when it comes to Christmas, we don't celebrate, do we? We simply survive. Right? I mean, let's just be honest. You look at your calendar, You look at your checkbook and you think, if I can just get through December. You know, if I can just get through December, then I'll make it over into the next year. For whatever reason, we are just not into this year, or maybe this is the umpteenth year that we haven't been into it. We are just kind of coasting. We are surviving. Maybe it's family, maybe it's finances, maybe it's work, maybe it's just whatever it is you're dealing with right now and have been and aren't much into celebrating. Instead, you are simply surviving. To be perfectly honest, we all get that way sometimes. We just kind of are surviving our Christian life. And maybe it's not at Christmas, but it comes. At some point it comes where we just, oh, I just have to get through. And for many of us, the problem is not some traumatic issue in our life. It's not some hectic schedule that keeps us from celebrating. I'm not necessarily referring to Christmas now, this time, but for life in general, one of the reasons we don't celebrate the gift of Jesus all year long is because of remembering Jesus and what He did for us kind of loses focus for us. Because we get so busy and so caught up in life. Did you know the Bible is filled with admonishment after admonishment after admonishment for God's people to remember? Remember. Remember the goodness of God. Remember the favor of God. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. All through the Bible, don't forget. A couple of quick examples. Remember in the Old Testament, what did God do for the Hebrew people? He delivered them out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, right? And He brought them through the Red Sea. And He provided for them for 40 years as they wandered around in the desert. He did all that. He provided them manna. The Bible says their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't get hungry. God continued to provide and continued to guide. And then in Exodus chapter 30, we see, if you remember, Moses is up on the mountain and he's getting the Ten Commandments. The Bible says that God wrote them with His own finger. And Moses is up there getting the Ten Commandments, and the people are down at the bottom of the mountain. And Moses is up there a little bit too long. And they think Moses is not coming back. And so they get this plan together with Aaron, and they say, make us a God who can lead us. And so Aaron does that, and Aaron puts the blame on them. If you remember, he collects all the gold, and he says, I just threw it in the furnace, and out popped this calf, right? But when Moses is up there with the people of God, God says to him in Exodus chapter 32, you can read it for yourself, Exodus chapter 32, verse 8, they have quickly turned from the way I have commanded them. I just brought them out of Egypt. I parted the Red Sea. I provided manna. Their shoes didn't wear. They never had hunger pains. And He says, they have quickly turned away. They forgot. In other words, they have already forgotten what I have done for them. And it's not just the Old Testament, folks. You go over to the New Testament, and Jesus is with His disciples, and there's this large crowd, and they say, uh-oh, we didn't bring any bread with us. What are we going to do? Now, Jesus was with them. This wasn't the first time this happened. Jesus was with them, and you would think that the disciples would say, hey, Lord, do it again. And this time, throw in some chocolate cake. Right? But they didn't. They said, we don't have any bread. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to feed them? And Jesus says to the very disciples that watched Him feed the 5,000 before, and He says, don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you collected? Not only did I feed them, but you picked up 12 baskets full afterwards. Don't you remember? We are often not unlike the disciples. We forget so quickly or just don't think it's that special anymore. And so this morning, I want to help you celebrate, not just today, not just in December, but I want to help you celebrate all year long. Now, I don't normally like to carry change. I hate carrying change. But I think after what God taught me this week, I'm going to start at least carrying 4 coins. A penny, a dime, a nickel, and a quarter. So I want you to watch something with me this morning. Now, if I did not come to you this morning with a cup and say, get some change out, raise your hand. If you didn't get some change from me this morning, raise your hand. Okay, look around. Now, those of you who have change, find someone and give them some change. Give them one of your coins, 2 or 3, however, but make sure you have one. Make sure you keep one. Just go ahead right now. You have my permission to get up. I want everybody to have some change in their hand, at least 1 coin. It doesn't matter if it's a penny. It doesn't matter if it's a dime, nickel. It doesn't matter if it's a quarter. If you or maybe you have some spare change in your hand, in your pocket purse, go out and just get that out right now. I want everybody to have at least one coin. Now, hang on with me. I want to be very perfectly clear. This is not yard sale. Okay? This is not yard sale money. I want you to hang on this. I want you to do one of two things done with this. I want one of two things with this spare chain done with this. I want you to, one, put a lot into an offering, or two, I want you to give it to the Salvation Army, because the Salvation Army in Galveston County is hurting. They are broke. They are running in the deficit. So after this thing, you can either put it, it's going to be back there, you can either put it here. If it goes in here, it's going to go to loan. If you don't want to put it in here, that's fine. Give it to the Salvation Army. Find one of those red kettles. But for right now, I want you to have this, because this is going to be a good reminder for you and forever. And like I said, after this morning, try and start carrying at least a penny, a nickel, a dime, and a quarter in my pocket. Because I want you to watch this. We often forget so many times what God has done for us. And so these are very important this morning. Let's start with the penny. The penny means past is forgiven. If you have a penny, hold that penny a moment. How many of you have a penny? Okay. This penny means my past is forgiven. My hope and prayer for each of us is that from this day forward, every time you see a penny, you celebrate the fact that your past can be forgiven. Your past can be forgiven. Because of Christmas, and because of this, we can celebrate the fact that our past is forgiven. It has been wiped out. It has been washed away. Listen to the word from Psalms and then again from Romans. Paul writes, quoting Psalm 32, "Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will charge with." You know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Every time you see a penny, you get the fact that your past is forgiven. I want you to hear me on this. My past is different from your past. And your past is different from my past and probably different from the past of the person sitting next to you. But we all have a past. We all have proud of. We all have things that we are still hanging on to that we've done. And while my past is different and your past is different from the person sitting next to you, it's true of all of our past. There is absolutely no past that Jesus cannot forgive and will not forgive. And I don't care what back there. If you give it to Jesus, He will give you. If Jesus Christ's life and to forgive sin, and what is around here, we say sin is simply anything I think, say, or do that displeases God. That's really easy for us. Paul said there in Romans that we break God's law. God's a law, and it's none of us measure. Sin simply means to miss the mark. That's the whole word, to miss the mark. All of us fall short of God's law. We all break God's law. And why so many people, when you ask them about life after death, they think they're going to go to heaven. Some of them say, well, I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know for a fact that your past is forgiven. It's a penny past. Your past is forgiven. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, in fact, I use it a lot when I write my 42 letters to the inmates when I do the Kairos prison. My favorite verses come from Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. because the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then your past is forgiven. You don't have to live, no matter what is back there, you do not have to live with the guilt of your past. You have been set free. All right. But there is more in change for Christmas. How many of you have, hold it up. Who are my nickel people here this morning? You can tell I have more pennies than nickels in my spare change, right? All right, think about this about nickel. The nickel means God's Spirit is in me now. Nickel equals now. And here's what you can celebrate every time you see a nickel, that God, not did God forgive your past, lives in you now. God lives in you now. He has taken up residence in your life. When you ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, he doesn't leave you. He stays with you. He stays there. God has invaded your spirit, the Bible says, his spirit, and you are never alone. Never, ever. That means never. No matter how life gets, no matter where you go or what you're doing, no matter who is coming against you, you are never alone because Spirit lives in you now. No matter who else walked out of your life, God will never walk out of your life. In you now. In fact, the Bible is in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. You can write that down. Now, if Christ in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit lives because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit, listen to this, who lives in you. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. A whole lot in that, but it all boils down to one thing. Jesus is alive in your life now, if you know Jesus. You know, one of the biggest reasons we get sideways, that we go off track, that we fall back, that we mess up, that we fall into sin, is because we forget that Jesus is with us now, that Jesus lives in us now, that God is in us and he gives us power and wisdom and discernment. He is not out there, he is in here, in our hearts. And hear what Jesus himself says in John chapter 3, verse 34. For the one whom God sent speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure. I want you to understand something. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God lives in you now, and Jesus said he gives you the Spirit without measure. That means without. There is no boundary, there is no limitation on the Spirit of God in your life. He will guide you, he will direct you. There is no limit. That gives us bold confidence to do all that God wants for us to do. You are never alone. Your past is forgiven, and God's Spirit in you now, alive, but there's still more to celebrate at Christmas and all through the year. Take out your dime. Who are my dime people? Right, they're hard to see. Those dimes up. Okay. What can you celebrate every time you see a dime? That means my destiny is determined. Determined destiny. Get another way. The dime means that you have a place in heaven. Not only are your sins forgiven, not only does God take up residence in your life, but you have a place in heaven when your destiny is determined. You have a place to go leave this world. The truth is, don't lose. The truth is, we all have a place to go when we leave this earth. We will either go to heaven, to live God in his home for all eternity, or we will be eternally separated from God in a place the Bible calls hell, prepared for those who reject Jesus Christ. Now, I'm glad you came to church on to hear about that, but it's true. But it doesn't have to be true for you that when you leave this world, that you will have a destiny in hell for eternity. You can live with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. But either way, your destiny is determined. In Jesus Christ, your destiny and your future in heaven is secure. Death is hard on all of us who believe in Christ. I'm a pastor. I know what the Bible says, but I hate death. I have seen it come in so many, to so many people over the last 35 years of ministry. And you know what? It isn't any easier. It stinks. In fact, the Bible says an enemy. Death is not your friend. It is our enemy. In fact, now, many of you already know because you're on the prayer list, we have a deep friend of ours, Amber Ann Martin. I've known her since she was 4 years old. Friday afternoon, her husband TJ, he's mid-20s, left to pick up their 7-year-old daughter and then on to his 1-year-old grandma's house. He got a car accident and they declared him brain dead this morning. I hate that. I don't care how strong your faith is. That stinks. That's a hard pill to swallow for this young mother. Been married about 2 years. She's got a good church family. Raised, she's a strong believer. That will shake your faith. I hate death. This friend that is not your is our enemy. I hate death. And I hurt family. And for his little girls, death is a terrible thing. And as a pastor, I have seen it. Sometimes. But I want you to know, death kicks the door wide open to something we otherwise experience if it didn't come into our life. Listen to what Jesus said. In John 5, verse 24, truly I tell you, anyone who hears words and in me who sent him has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen. That's the bright side. I hate death, but I cannot experience eternal life without death. Can you? When we ask Jesus into our life and forgive our past, and he begins to live in us right here and now, we have already positionally and spiritually passed from death into life. But we don't realize the finality, we don't realize the fullness of salvation if we don't die. And that's how I have to look at it. Because that's how the Bible looks at it. And so while I hate death and ugliness, it is necessary for me to experience the final result of my salvation, a relationship with Christ. It can be hard, and it is often ugly, but the other side is so full. The other side is so beautiful. If you know Christ as your person, past is forgiven. Jesus lives in you now. And your destiny is determined. And so every time you see a penny, remember, I've got a penny past. My past is forgiven. Every time you see a nickel, nickel equals now. God lives in me now. Every time you see a dime, remember, destiny is already determined. I have a place in heaven. Now, the big spend of quarters. I don't grab my quarters. They better go to Moon Plater. Salvation Army. Don't go buying bubble gum or presents or something. Okay? All right. This is what I want you to remember. The quarter means I can continue. Now, I know I have a lot of you already because you're already thinking about how you are really messed up. Because you're thinking penny equals past, nickels now, dime equals any, quarter equals spiritual growth. What is up with that? I couldn't think of a Q word. That mutual growth. So, here's a challenge to you. You are smart about the sources or something, and you come up with a Q word, continued growth. Give it to me, and next time I preach, I will give you in that sermon. Right now, follow me. We're almost done. Because I think this will miss you, and I hope it will. A wonderful story in Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, in fact. I want to read this to you. It's familiar with Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 3. Then Jesus told things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell on along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on the ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it weighed and died. It fell among the thorns, and thorns came up and choked it. But still, look at verse 8. Still, others fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 160 and some 30 times what was sown. Let any who has ears to hear listen. Listen up for just a few more minutes. What's this quarter stand for? The quarter means I can continue to grow. The sower went out and spread seed. on four different soils, okay? Here's a little map. He spread on four different soils. What percentage grew? 1/4, 25%. God wants you to be 20%. You can be in that 25%. You can continue to grow. Here's what I really want you to celebrate. Every time you see a quarter, every time you see a quarter, you have to stay. You can always grow in your relationship with the Lord. I look at some of you, and I want to be like them. Some of our senior saints who have been walking with us for more years than I find hope and encouragement. Because you are still growing in relationship with the Lord. You are still growing in your faith. You're studying your Bibles and learning things. And there's two reasons. One is because God is living and active and sharper than any other two-edged. And every time you read the Word, you can find new in it that you didn't see before. That's the first reason. The second reason is because you read your Bible still. Because you hung to keep growing and learning. A quarter is a great reminder. And a way to celebrate that you ever and have to say the words, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just a patient person. I'm just not a kind person. I'm just not a hugger. I'm a handshaker. I'm just not whatever. You know, because of Jesus Christ living in your life, you can still grow. You don't ever have to say, well, that's just the way I am. If you do, it's because you choose to stay the way you are. It's your fault. It's never God's. Now, if you have all that change in your hand, how many of you have more than one coin? Shake those coins. Kind of sounds like L's. Sounds like Emmanuel, God with us, because that's what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God being with us. Now, I don't know which of these coins best represent where you are right now, but I know that the starting place for all of us is with thee, that your pain be forgiven. No matter where, it can be forgiven. Having your past forgiven, and that is made possible through a very simple but heartfelt prayer. Jesus, I know that I have sin in my life. And just like Paul did, I want you to come in and forgive me of that sin. You died on the cross. You took my place on the cross. And so I want to ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin, to live in my life. And I want to thank you for the place in heaven that you purchased for me with your own blood. And I want to ask you to help me to continue to grow in my relationship. If you have never prayed a prayer like that, I guarantee if you pray a prayer and you mean it in your heart, that this will be the best Christmas you ever had to date. The best. And that's not a promise from Pastor Clay. That's a promise of Jesus Christ, the one who stepped out of eternal time to give us Christmas.